Our Father, we thank you. We are so happy to come before you, O Lord. Father, you have made our heart to be glad because you gave us life. We are not better than those that passed on while they were asleep yesterday night. Father, we are not better than those that woke up this morning and they were rushed to the hospital. Lord, we are not better than them. But here we are, healthy and sound, singing, worshiping you, O Lord, we say thank you. Father, we thank you, O Lord, for the peaceful atmosphere that we have here to worship you. Many around the globe are facing persecution. They cannot meet like us. And Father, we do say thank you. We thank you for the privilege to come before you, to hear you speak to our hearts. Lord, we are very grateful. We thank you. Because you are a Father that speaks from your heart without any reservation. You tell us what you want us to know and what you need us to do. And you expect that from us as well. That as we speak to you in prayers, that Lord, we should express our high desires without any reservation. And so, Lord, this morning, we are speaking to you from our heart. And we do ask, Lord, that you speak to us. That you open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that we understand your word. As you talk to us, that Lord, you give us the heart that will obey your word. And Father, we pray, oh God, that you use me. That we'll explain your word with clarity to your people. That I'm not going to confuse them. Father, I pray I'm not going to entertain them. But Lord, I'll be only a messenger that will deliver your message as you have given it to me for your people. And so, Father, use me to honor your name. We thank you. We bless you. We adore you for hearing us. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I will not forget to say thank you to Pastor Aaron and the leadership of the church for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with God's people. It's a privilege. And this morning, our text will be from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read from verse 32 to chapter 5, verse 2. I'll be looking at the topic, imitate God. Our topic this morning says, imitate God. And our text is Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 32 to chapter 5. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 to chapter 5, verse 2. So the expression, follow in my footsteps, either from parents or elderly in faith, is no longer pronounced because of the corrupt nature of humanity. However, the order to imitate Christ and other faithful believers in faith is spread in the scripture from Old Testament to New Testament. Moses commands the Jews to be holy as the Lord God is holy. And Jesus commands his disciples to imitate him in many places in the scriptures. In fact, John quoted Jesus saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Likewise, Matthew quoted Jesus' comment by saying, I quote, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The early Christians, particularly Paul, encourages Christians to imitate him as he imitates Christ. According to church history, the name Christian, which we bear today, was given to the believers then because the disciples' lifestyle was identical with that of Jesus when he was here on earth. And that's why they were called Christians, meaning other Christ, the followers of Christ. In other words, they were imitators of Christ. The early church spiritual and numerical growth after Pentecost was experienced because the church imitates Christ. Imitate Christ's lifestyle through the power of the Holy Spirit. Consequently, the church grew and spread to many regions and nations. And this morning, Paul is encouraging us to imitate Christ in Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 32 to chapter 5, verse 2. And he says this: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So Paul and other apostles planted churches in many Gentile nations. And one of the churches planted, in fact, one of the prominent churches, were the church in Ephesus. In fact, Paul planted the church in Ephesus while he was journeying to Jerusalem. And later he visited Ephesus during his third missionary journey, and he spent 3 years with them, teaching and preaching there effectively. A few years later, Paul was arrested and detained as a prisoner in Rome. While in prison, many people visited him, including Tychicus. Tychicus was the one that visited Paul. When he visited Paul, after Paul wrote this letter, he handed it to him. He was a courier man. Tychicus delivered this letter to the churches in Ephesus. And we observe in this letter, this book of Ephesus, of this book of Ephesians, that this book differs from other books. It's different from other letters Paul wrote, because the usual greeting that begins Paul's letter we are missing in the book of Ephesus. And also, this book sounds more like a sermon than a letter. So the letter or this book is not meant to counteract any heresy or handle any church problems or issues. Rather, it was a letter of encouragement to the church, containing the descriptive appearance of the church as those redeemed from eternal damnation into God's family as adopted sons and daughters. So he left the church to know who they are, that they were those condemned. But through the Christ's death on the cross, they are now adopted sons and daughters of God. They are co-heirs with Christ, that Christ is our senior brother. Amen. We are co-heirs of God's inheritance. Amen. With Christ. And he went further to tell them that does go with great responsibility. It comes with the responsibility that they need to live the life worthy of their calling as the body of Christ on earth. So he wrote the book to the church in Ephesus. After 7 years, he planted the church. And that book is also for us today. And we're going to hear God speak to us through this passage. But I'm going to give you a little background about Ephesus so that what we are going to discuss or dive in a few minutes will make more sense. The passage was addressed to Christians who came to Christ while living in Ephesus' notorious and sinful port city in the present-day Western Turkey. In that wicked metropolis, the worship of the idol Diana, ritual prostitution, and sexual perversion was the norm in that society. So Ephesus was a prototype of any of great city we can think of today. In fact, according to Miller said that not even Rome saw much wealth for years like the port of Ephesus. He says that Ephesus was the third largest city in the vast empire after Rome and Alexandria, Egypt. So it was a business hub at that time. The merchandise passes through the port to Europe and beyond to the Middle East. So you have influx of people coming into Ephesus. A lot of dirty things were happening to the point that Ephesus was destroyed. Given that background, Paul challenged the Christians with these words. He says, "Be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice for God." So we're going to see two ways in which God or Paul is telling the church that they need to imitate God. And one is to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. And the second one is to demonstrate Christ's love and sacrificial attitude. He says, believers, you need to imitate Christ in this way. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. And also demonstrate Christ's love, which you received, and his sacrificial attitude. So let's begin with the first one. Be compassionate. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving. So Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children. He says, as children imitate their parents, we Christians should imitate God's example. In what way should we imitate God's example? He says the first way is to be kind and compassionate and forgiving. Our God is a kind God. He's a compassionate God. He is slow to anger. His anger does not last forever. He doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve. Our God is kind and compassionate. If our God would treat us as our sins deserve, I tell you, none of us would be seated here. And Paul says, you need to be like your father. You need to be kind and compassionate. Our God is compassionate. Even before the creation of the world, that when he set up the world, God showed his compassionate heart and kindness to us. And when you read the creation story, you will see how God put all things in place for us to enjoy. When he set up everything in place, he created man. Man was the last thing God created. He didn't create us first. He put all the things that we needed that will make our lives sweet and pleasurable here on earth. And then he created man. His intention was for us to stay long and live and enjoy ourselves, to have fellowship with him. Do you know that when God created the world, in creation, God factored in our provision, our needs, that we don't need to worry about our needs when he created the world. He made that provision that all our needs will be met from the day we are born till the day we will live. In fact, his plan was that none of us will die. He was a compassionate God. He's very kind. Do you know that why we are going to have the new heavens and new earth, as described in Revelation, was because Adam and Eve disobeyed and destroyed the earth. So the description or the features of the new heaven and the new earth was a replica of the Garden of Eden. It was a place prepared. There will be no sorrow, there will be no death, there will be no crying. That will live forever. That's our God. He's very kind, compassionate. He has good intentions, always good intentions for us. That when you read the story of the fall, when Adam and Eve disobeyed him, What did God do? He came down to fellowship with them. And when they heard his movement, and they began to hide, they hid themselves. And God was like, Adam, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I heard your voice, and I hid because I am naked. Who told you you were naked? Do you think God didn't know that Adam has eaten the fruit? Do you think he didn't know Adam was naked? He knew. In fact, a comedian made a joke out of that. He said Adam was the first man that failed a test. God gave him a exam and he failed. And God asked him, Adam, Adam, where are you? Instead of him to say, I'm in the tree, I'm in the bush, I'm hiding, he said, I'm naked. Come on, Adam, you're dumb. What's the relation between your place of location and your mode of dressing? They were, God wasn't asking him whether he dressed well or not. He was asking, where are you, Adam? But the point I'm making, that even when they disobeyed God and they were naked, they took the leaves and covered their nakedness. And the leaves got dried and their nakedness were exposed. What did God do? God made a clothing for them. He used an animal skin to make a clothing. He made a clothing to cover their nakedness. The same people that disobeyed him, that hurt him, that displeased him, he made a clothing for them. Not only did he make a clothing, he set up a plan to restore the relationship that was broken. And he said, I'm going to send my son to die for their sins. That's our God. He's very kind and compassionate. And Paul is saying, be like your father. Imitate your father. Be kind and compassionate. So we need to be compassionate to those that annoy us, to those that hurt us, to those that don't like to see our faces. We also need to be compassionate to those that love us, those that are in relationship with. Within the church and outside the church, Paul is saying, be compassionate. We need to be compassionate to our neighbors. And to everyone, even those that cause pain on us. That boss that does not want you to have peace in the office. You are that colleague that makes things difficult for you in the office. Paul is saying, be kind and compassionate. He says we need to do that because we are the children of God. We need to imitate our Father. He went further to add, he said, we are to exhibit forgiving spirit because our Father is a forgiving God. He's not only compassionate and kind, he's also a forgiving God. He says, we need to forgive those that hurt us, inside and outside the church, whether they accept they hurt us or not, we need to forgive them. It doesn't matter who hurts you or the gravity of the offense committed against you. Jesus says, forgive. We need to forgive. I know you could say, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand what they did to me, the pain they caused to me, or the pain he caused me, or the harm he caused me. Yes, I don't understand, obviously. I don't. But God does. Amen. And it's God that is talking to us this morning. He says, forgive. Forgive. Is God commanding us this morning to do his bidding? He said, my son, my daughter, forgive. So the trust of the mother is that we must forgive those that hurt us. Honestly, I struggle with that too as a pastor. Is it an easy task to forgive? No. Forgiveness is one of the difficult things to do. It is not easy, but that's what we must do. We have no choice because we must imitate our Father to prove to the world that we are the children of God. And Christ says, forgive. It is one of the difficult things to do in this spiritual race because at times our ego is involved. But we need to remember that Christ set aside his ego. He set aside his ego to forgive us our sins. And he says, forgive. So are you having a forgiving spirit against a person sitting next to you here? Or a brother or sister here? Or your colleague in the office? Or your spouse? Are you having a forgiving spirit against anyone? That in your heart you have decided you're not going to forgive the person. Is it your children or your grandchildren? Whoever it may be, Jesus is saying, please forgive the fellow. God is saying, Johnson, forgive the fellow. That we have no choice. If we are the children of God, we must forgive those who hurt us. And you know that forgiveness is good for our spiritual and physical health. You know about that. But God says as his children, we need to imitate him. And moreover, we are what we are in God because Christ forgave our sins. Today we can boldly approach the throne of grace and cry, Abba, Father. Because Jesus forgave our sins. Amen. If Jesus didn't forgive our sins, I tell you, we would have been sinners today. None of us would have been here to cry or be children of God. So we are to be imitators of God. And he says, we are to imitate God as beloved children. Who are the beloved children? So John says that as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Even to them that believed only in his name. Who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but that of God. So if you have a relationship with Jesus, as your Lord and personal Savior, you are a beloved child of God. But if you don't, you still have opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. And that takes us to the second one. He says, you need to be imitators of God by demonstrating Christ's love and sacrificial attitude. And he says, walk in love, even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us as offering and a sacrifice to God. For an odor of a sweet smell. Christ is the supreme example of this love. He gave himself up to die on behalf of us. He loved us even to death. The death on the cross is not only a demonstration of Christ's love to us, but an ultimate expression of Christ's treasure. Christ died on the cross to show us that he loves us. But he goes more than that. He goes further to tell us that Christ treasures us, that we are invaluable to God, that you are very, very important. You are a great treasure to Christ. Amen. And you know, Bible says, wherever your heart is, that's where your word. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. God's heart is in us because we are his treasure. And that's why he sent his son. So Christ demonstrated his love and expression to us that we are very, very invaluable to him. I think that's the best way, or one of the ways to understand Christ's suffering and death on the cross. That those are for us. And Paul says that for our sake, he made him who knew no sin, to become sin, so that in him we may become the righteousness of God. That God, that Jesus had no sin, but he became sin for us, so that through him we become the righteousness of God. Amen. That is love for you. He took our place and died on our behalf. Do you know there has never been a disconnection between the Father and the Son before? But it was on the cross. When Christ was carrying our sin, when he bore our sins on the cross, that there was a disconnection between him and the Father. The Father cut him off. The Son was cut off from the Father. That Jesus had to cry out aloud and say, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" The Father forsook the Son because he was carrying my sins and that of yours. What a love. And Paul says, walk in that love. He endured the lashes on his back, the thorns on his head, the spit on his cheek, the bruises on his body, the nails on his hands and feet, the spear in his side, the scorn of rulers and other Jews, the curse, the betrayal of friends, and all those. Christ endured all those for you and me, to let you know that he loves you, that you are very important to him. His great love for me and you led him to sacrifice himself so that I might live. That God loves me so much that he left heaven and came to planet Earth to live, suffered and died for me. Such love is incredible. It's difficult to explain. It's incomprehensible. Do you know God would have turned all the humans to sand, to dust, and create a new set of people, and life will continue? He would have done that. And look at us and say, these guys are, these my children are disobedient. Everybody turned to dust. Everybody would turn to dust. And he would start afresh, create a new set of Adam and Eve. Who is going to query him? You? Nobody is going to query him. But he decided to show you that he loves you. He decided to show me that he loves me. And just said, for God so loved the world that he sent his only one and only begotten son. That God himself left his throne to come here to die for you and me. Come on. God loves you. I don't know what you're going through in your life and you're thinking, God does not love for me. He doesn't care. I'm here this morning to tell you that God loves you. So don't listen to those words from Satan, those messages from Satan that tells you nobody loves you, God doesn't love you, nobody cares for you. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. And he demonstrated that in Christ. He left his throne. And he came down here. and spent 3.5 years plus living among us. And he suffered and died in the hands of men and women he created just to prove to you that he loves you. My brother, my sister, God loves you. And if you are here this morning, you have no relationship with this Jesus, this loving Jesus that is an epitome of love, I tell you, you have a great opportunity this morning to surrender your life to him and make him your Lord and personal Savior. Because this our God is a loving God. He's a very sacrificial God. He did all those for us, not because of what he's going to gain. Nothing. Nothing. He didn't do it for any interest or what he's going to get from us. We had nothing. Paul says there was nothing good in us. Why we are sinners? Christ demonstrated his love to us. Why we are yet sinners? He died. We had nothing to offer him. That is our God. And Paul says, you need to walk in that love as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. Paul reminds us his nature and who he is. He says, to prove to you that God loves you so much, in the book of Philippians, he says that though he was in the very nature of God, he did not see that as a reason or something to hold on to. I'm giving you a paraphrase. He said he didn't see that as a reason or as an excuse to hold on to. But he came down here and made himself nothing. He took the very nature of man, his nature of a servant, and be made in human likeness. And he was found in appearance of a man. He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even death on the cross. That was Jesus for us. And John says, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I was teaching a class. My kids were still young then. I was teaching a baptismal class. And I asked them, who is going to die for me? Nobody said. They said no. Nobody raised his hand. I said, who among you will be willing to die for me? Nobody raised their hand. So I looked at my kids. I said, even you guys, you're eating my food and you're sleeping in my house. You won't die for me, you know. They said, no, daddy, if you commit a crime, you're going to face the music, you know. But Jesus died for me. Amen. And Paul says, imitate him. Walk in the same love. So our love for others should be the same kind that goes beyond affection to self-sacrificing service. It should go beyond affection to self-sacrificing service like Jesus did to us. The sacrificial way God expresses his love is not only a means of salvation, but also an example of how we are to live for the sake of others. Jesus is saying, this is how you need to live for others. And he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's what Jesus demonstrated to us while he was here. And that's the beauty of being a Christian. That when you read my Bible or yours, our Christ does not tell us to do things he does not do. He will first do it, set an example, and he will tell you, follow my footsteps. He will tell you, be holy because I'm holy. He lived a holy life, and he's saying, You need to live a holy life. You belong to me. And he's saying, walk in the same love. I demonstrated love and sacrificial attitude to people without expecting anything from them. You need to do the same. He says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know the simple interpretation of that. He's saying, live your life for the interests of others. That's the simple explanation of love your neighbor as you love yourself. Live your life for the interests of others, not for your own interests. When you live your life for the interests of others, you have loved your neighbor as you loved yourself. And Christ did that. And he says, follow my footsteps. So similarly, we need to love even to death if necessary, and thereby imitate God. It is our responsibility to love one another as Christ loved us. And I love how the Bible described Christ's death and sacrifice for us. He says that Christ's death on the cross is a sweet smell offering and sacrifice to God. I love that. The adjectives used here, sweet smell, offering, and sacrifice. In fact, some theologians observe that sin offering does not smell good. Sin offerings were never recognized to smell good. But that of the Lamb of God, come on. But that the Lamb of God has a sweet aroma to God Almighty. And the odor or sweet fragrance to God means that God is pleased with Christ's sacrifice on the cross. That his death on the cross was accepted by the Father. For he brought redemption to the fallen creature of God. That he brought creation, redemption to all mankind. And that's what it means when he says the word is sweet, smell, offering, and sacrifice to God. That Christ's sacrifice is a complete one for our salvation to be secured. He said, Christ has paid the price. Your salvation is secured by his death on the cross. If you are saved, you are saved. You don't need to doubt it. You belong to Christ if you give your life to him. Because Christ paid the final sacrifice, the offering to God on your behalf. And he says, it is finished. He said, Father, it is finished. The debt is paid in full. The mess has been cleaned thoroughly, Father. And he says, the reconciliation task is perfected, Lord. It is finished. And he beckons on everyone who has no relationship with him to come. To come. To come. And have a relationship with him. Because he has paid the ultimate price on the cross for us to be at peace with God. If you don't know Jesus, I urge you to answer the call this morning. Because Christ has paid the price. He has paid the penalty of our sins. And we are saved. We are reconciled with Christ. And we are declared holy people, righteous ones, before God Almighty. In conclusion, God called us as his children to be kind, to be compassionate, to be forgiving, and to be loving and sacrificial to others, with no exception, both to those that love us and those that hate us. God wants us to imitate him. Because the art of us demonstrating this nature of God will prove to the world that we are his followers. And he's going to draw many, many people to the kingdom. He's not going to scare people away from the kingdom. He's going to draw many people to the kingdom of God. They will want to know what makes you special? Why are you different from us? And you said, it's just Jesus. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? You said, no. That's what makes you different from me. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you're going to be like me. We need to prove to the world that we are our Father's children. I often say the world has heard the scripture so much. They listen to it on radio, internet, TV. What is missing is the life. The life is missing. People have heard the scriptures. You hardly quote any passage in the Bible, and people will tell you they have not heard about the passage. But what is missing is the life. People want to see the life. They saw the life in the lives of the disciples at Antioch. They saw in them and they said, these are Christians. These are followers of Christ. God wants that from us, even in this 21st century. And that will only happen when we imitate him. And he's urging us this morning to be his imitator. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this challenging message you have given to us. You have strongly told us this morning that you want us to imitate you, to follow in your footsteps. And Father, we thank you. I want to begin by asking for your forgiveness because we have failed you. We have not been able to imitate you as you desire. And so, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Please forgive us. Please pardon us, O Father. And we pray from this day onwards that, Lord, you will help us. Help us, O Lord, to imitate you, to walk as the Holy Spirit leads, to do that which pleases your heart. Father, do that for us, Lord. We thank you. We bless you for hearing our prayers. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. It's a privilege to hear from you.